Will you join me in prayer? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Part of the role of the minister here at Highland Park is to teach. So we're required to rotate through the different Sunday morning classes here and to provide studies and lessons. And each of us have our own favorite topics to teach on, and mine is always denominational differences. And one of the reasons I love to teach on this is because, being a Baptist, I feel that there are several misconceptions about my tradition that I like to set straight. But I also like to teach on this subject because it always brings about really vibrant dialogue. People begin to talk about what it is that they value about the tradition that they grew up in, or they talk about the different theologies that they were taught growing up, and sooner or later, they're able to articulate what it is that they love about the Methodist tradition and why they value Highland Park United Methodist Church. A few months ago, I was leading a class on this topic when a woman began to share her experience of God growing up. And she said growing up, she was always terribly afraid of God. She thought God was this harsh judge that was always looking after everything she did. She felt like she had to stick on the straight and narrow path, or else in some way, God would punish her. She said, actually, one day in worship, a woman told her, "God is with you, child." And she said she literally ran out of the sanctuary in fear. She was terrified. She hated this idea that she couldn't escape God. And so it was kind of a funny story, but it was also a really disheartening story. And several of us began to feel sorry for her and the tradition that she was raised in. But the truth is, this type of fear of God is really not unique to particular traditions. And we find in the scriptures that since humanity was created, we've always been afraid of God, or we've always questioned God's intentions. In our text this morning, Jesus begins by telling us, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." Throughout the Gospel of Luke, this instruction has already been given several times. When Mary is told that she's going to have a child, the angel tells her, "Do not be afraid." And when the shepherds are encountered in the middle of the open fields near Bethlehem, the angel tells them, "Do not be afraid." And when Jesus calls Simon Peter to discipleship, he tells him, "Do not be afraid." And again, when Jesus encounters a grieving community and a child that has just passed away, he tells them, "Do not be afraid." Our understanding of God and often God's interruption in our lives causes us to be afraid. It causes us to doubt God's goodwill and work in our lives. But in our text this morning, Jesus offers us a really compelling promise about life. "Do not be afraid, little flock." And why, we might ask? Because he says it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I have an 11-month-old son who many of you have met because my husband always brings him to the service. And though parenting certainly has its challenges, it is our good pleasure to give him good things. It is our good pleasure to feed him and to nurture him and to bathe him and to love on him. It's our good pleasure to give him a good home, a sense of well-being about himself as a person, and the opportunity to develop and grow and become who God has intended him to become. And according to Jesus, it is God's good pleasure to give us good things, to give us the kingdom. And by kingdom, Jesus does not just mean in the sweet by and by sense, but by kingdom, he means the kingdom now, the kingdom that Jesus has come to inaugurate. It is God's good pleasure to give us the rule and reign of God now and to let us participate in it. In the same way that I have good intentions to bear in my son's life, so God has good intentions for our lives. But it begins with trusting that God wants to give us a life that is full of eternal realities, and it begins with not being afraid. See, the problem with being afraid is that we risk missing the good life that God offers us. And by good life, I don't mean an easy life, but I mean an abundant one. One that frees us from the anxieties of life and enables us to be generous people. And so Jesus, knowing what we stand to lose, knowing that we might miss a good thing, tells a story about a Roman household. It's a story about a master and his slaves who are on guard for the master to return from a wedding banquet. Traditionally, in the culture and time of Jesus' day, slaves would have been prepared for their master to return because it was their duty. Because if they didn't, in some way, they would be punished. Because fear tells them that they have to be prepared. But Jesus uses this metaphor in a really non-traditional way. When the master returns, Jesus says he has his slaves sit down at the table, and he comes and serves them. By surprise, we find that the master of the house is the one who waits at the table. Jesus flips the metaphor on its head, which he always is doing, because the metaphor of a Roman master and his slaves would have led the disciples to say, "We know the point of the message. Be prepared so that we will avoid a punishment." But to their surprise and to ours, Jesus is telling them, "No, be prepared so that you will receive a blessing." You see, when we are afraid, our perception of God's goodwill and God's work in our lives is hindered. When we are afraid, we begin to think that faith is about being prepared so that we won't be punished, or that faith is about behaving in a certain way because it's God's rule. When in fact, faith is about preparation for blessing. Faith is about believing in God's good purposes and paying attention so that we don't miss a good thing. Had the slaves been distracted by fear, had they not been ready, they would have missed the opportunity to receive a meal from their master. We begin to hear the words echo for us now. "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Be on guard, Jesus tells us, not out of fear of punishment, but because you might miss a blessing. Be on guard because it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, and we know that the kingdom is at hand. Be on guard because the table is set for you, Jesus says. In Barbara Brown Taylor's book, An Altar in the World, which is one of my favorite books, if you haven't read it, I'd really encourage you to do so. But she talks about this practice of being on guard, and in her words, she calls it the practice of paying attention. In her book, she talks about the various altars that are all over the world, sacred and holy places where God is awaiting to meet us, but we aren't paying attention. She says there is divine possibility all over the world, and it's so thick that it's a wonder that any of us can walk anywhere without cracking our shins on altars. Isn't that beautiful? We are all looking for and longing for more in life, but because we are anxious or because we are afraid, we are distracted, and we do not see that it is God's good pleasure to give us the kind of treasure that doesn't fade or fail. We have to pay attention, like a watchful slave, because God forbid the master comes home and we miss the feast that was meant for us all along. If you remember, when Moses was appointed by God to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, he was actually leading a flock of sheep out of the wilderness when an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a burning bush. And Moses says, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why this bush is not burned up. I must turn aside. I must see what's happening here in my periphery because I don't want to miss this. Not because if I don't turn aside, I'll be punished, but because I might miss a good thing." See, God is always at work in our periphery. There are altars all over the world, and God is always awaiting with good pleasure, but we have to pay attention. We have to be willing to turn aside. We have to be alert, or God forbid we walk by a burning bush and we don't notice it. It is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, and we must trust that. We would be foolish to be afraid of what lies in our periphery, begging for our attention, because who wants to miss a meal that was prepared by the master? When I graduated from seminary, I was asked to consider the possibility of preaching, but it felt like it wasn't the right time, so I went in a different direction. And then a few years later, I was offered a residency in pastoral preaching, but the nature of the task seemed so terrifying that I thought it just couldn't be for me. And so then I came on staff here to work on our discipleship team, which I absolutely love doing, but I certainly never would have thought that I would be extended a preaching invitation as a Baptist in a Methodist church. Fear led me to want to dismiss this invitation, but I couldn't help but acknowledge the multiple times that God has stood in my periphery with an opportunity to preach. I remember the wisdom of Jesus to be on guard, to pay attention, and thought, it's time I too turn aside and look at what's been beckoning me for so long. I do not want to miss a blessing. When we are afraid, we doubt God's good purposes. And when we are afraid, we choose not to pay attention to the holy places that God awaits to meet us, and we risk missing a blessing. We risk missing our call, whether that's to preaching or teaching or what have you. And so we have to remain alert, and we have to pay attention like the slave waiting for his master to come home, not because if we don't, we will be punished, but because if we don't, we will miss a blessing. Don't be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I don't know what fears you today, and I don't know what's hindering you from believing in God's good purposes. But I do know that if you continue to let fear distract you, you will miss God, you will miss a holy place, and you will miss a blessing. You'll be like the slave who isn't alert, the one who falls asleep before the master comes home and misses the feast that was meant for him all along. Amen.